Hey, I'm Derek.
And I'm Noah. And you're listening to A Bite Of,
where we take our current favorite pop culture obsession and enjoy it one nibble at a time.
One nibble, final nibble of The Lightning Thief.
Here it is. We've read the entire book.
We read an entire middle grade book as 30-year-olds.
Yes. And when I first read it, I wasn't even in middle grade either. And let me tell you, I forgot a lot.
These final chapters, after we were both done, I was like, Derek, do you remember Krusty? He's like, no.
Okay. I was reading it and I was like, wait a minute. Tell me more. What happens in the next chapter?
It is so stacked. Speaking of stacked. So we have a lot of fun coverage and special things coming up. I think this is going to be our most stacked talking about episodes, stuff that we've done on the podcast, because we were fortunate enough to get access to a lot of cool stuff for the show. So we got screeners for the first four episodes. That's cool. We're not going to spoil anything. Don't worry. We got access to doing interviews, talking with the cast and crew, creators, Rick and Becky Riordan.
That's so cool.
It's amazing. So we have a lot to piece through. We have articles coming out next episode, which is tomorrow on Thursday, because that's when the embargo lifts. We are going to be doing an episode talking about a lot of those interviews that we were able to attend. We're going to have sound bites and everything. So it's going to be really fun. It's just going to be talking about the excitement and all the cool things that they told us.
Yes. And we are also going to do a spoiler-free review. We can call it a review of the first two episodes.
Yes, of the first two episodes. So don't worry. We will not spoil anything for the first two episodes.
Except we'll tell you all the giant changes that were made.
So how you get all those episodes, make sure you're subscribing. You want to subscribe that way you get the episodes first and you have to wait for the app or even search for it. It just comes on your phone. Just right there. Pops Ring. Up.
Good morning.
We are also still on our way to 200 reviews. So beep, boop, boop. Throw some stars our way.
For the holidays.
Yeah.
Come
on. Put a star on top of our review tree.
Oh my God. That's gorgeous. Wow. Look at the tree. Oh.
Okay. We have a lot to talk about with everything.
Yes. And so just giant spoiler alert for the last six chapters of this book. I mean, literally spoiling everything.
Yeah.
So if you haven't read it and you don't want to know, go read it and then listen to the episode.
Yeah. Don't wait for us to get to this in the show. Read the book. It's fun. It takes like no time at all.
And I really loved this book.
I mean, really good.
I loved it when I first read it, but I really enjoyed it again.
You're giving away the juicy content.
I'm sorry. I'm also like, when am I going to read the next one?
Now.
Okay. we're done recording. All right. So let us officially take a bite of Percy Jackson and the Olympians, The Lightning Thief, Chapter 17, to the end.
22. Six chapters to the end. So as we promised two episodes ago, we took the BuzzFeed quiz. We put it on the bottom of the last episode so that way you guys could take it. And some of you had shared what you were in like Cabin 5 and Aries and all that. So it was really cool. So we took it on our Patreon. We will have us like live taking it. That way you can hear the questions and kind of what we did with it. But we'll just tell you our results now. Okay. Do you want to go first?
I'll go first. So I took this very seriously.
I want to guess who you're in.
Okay. You're not going to.
Am I not?
You're not.
Athena?
No.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Imagine.
I'm six steps ahead.
I'm in cabin four as a child of Demeter.
That's
easygoing, but strong when you need to be.
Oh.
Right?
That's not, yeah. I mean, when you put it that way.
Yeah. And she's the goddess of the harvest. So she fucking loves wheat. And I'm like, yeah, I love bread.
But you can't have it.
Can't have it. I'm carb free. But I was like, okay, that makes sense. I really thought about the questions. I wasn't like answering them flippantly. So
okay. So I did too.
Should I guess yours?
Yes.
Now should I do the obvious one that I would think you are?
You do this every time. You're like, should I do the one where I know it is or the one that I like it should be?
So I want to say Hades.
He doesn't have a cabin, okay?
Roasted. That's true. But you could still be his child, right?
An asshole. Just like, you know what? Not all monsters are bad, okay? Just putting that out there.
That's beautiful. So, Zeus.
No.
Oh.
But it is a big three.
Ooh. So there only leaves one more.
I'm Poseidon.
You are Percy's brother.
I'm Percy's brother, which, you know, is fine. It says, as a child of Poseidon, you can move like the sea, but you never forget the constant friends in your life. Plus, you have pretty much the coolest half-brother ever. That's cool.
Awesome.
Earthshaker. I love it.
Move like the sea.
All right. So
Noah loves doing body rolls.
So we will again put the link to this. It's on BuzzFeed, so you can search for it. But take the quiz and then let us know. Go on our Discord or, you know, social media, all that stuff. We'd love to know.
I want to know who our fellow campers are and where they will be hanging out for the summer.
Don't leave me with Percy. Like, he's fine. But also, like, I don't know if I'd get along with him.
What?
I don't know. I feel like I get more along with Annabeth than I would with Percy.
But that's good, though.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's nice when you can separate from your friends for a little bit instead of being related to them.
That's true. All right. So should we officially take a bite of?
Officially a fish. Oh. Officially. Because get it? Ocean? Okay. Anyway. Chapter 17. We shop for water beds.
He is the son of a water god.
Holy smokes. There's so much water in this book. A cab ride to LA leads to Percy plunging into the Pacific. The gang stretches out on a baddie's bed.
Ooh, very nice. This chapter completely erased from my memory.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like just like Percy in the Lotus Hotel, like I just out of my memory.
What's so funny to me is that I remembered the Lotus Hotel, but I thought it was at least 12 chapters long.
Yeah.
I was like, this is huge. This is such a big thing. It's half of one chapter.
Yeah. I feel like reading these earlier, you know, my brain is more developed, I think, than it was when I first read them. So it's like, it did seem like a lot of that stuff was drawn out. And I don't know if it's because of the movies, but like all this stuff just happens in each chapter. It's very episodic.
Mm.
And
Rick packs a punch in every Percy chapter.
He really does.
Yeah.
So they get a taxi ride from Los Angeles all the way to Santa Monica Beach.
So they're actually going from Las Vegas to LA. In this part.
Did I say Los Angeles?
To Santa Monica. Yeah, you jumped like three chapters.
I did. Yeah. But they just give them the Lotus credit card and they're able to take it, which is very lucky because like it's far, no amount of money.
That was a question that I was thinking. I was like, do the cabs in Las Vegas take cards from hotels?
Probably. I would think so.
Cool.
I don't know.
Either.
This is also 2005. I don't think times
have changed.
Everything on our phone. So I don't
know. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I've only been to Las Vegas once and I don't. It's hot.
So in this car ride, because they have a long car ride ahead, but they also still have one day left. So they're burning a lot of daylight during this. Percy finally tells them about his dream that he had when he was in the truck.
Mm.
And Annabeth and Grover, they can't really make sense of why the cold voice in the dream is wanting two objects. So it's like, if that was Hades or whatever that was, why would they need the Master Bolt and also the helm and all this stuff? So like, it's seeming like it's not really making sense to them, and leave it to Annabeth to really like analyze that. But I love in these chapters, and because it's written for this age group, that like, it's like, oh, this isn't making sense, but we have all this other stuff that we're going to do. And then like, we'll go back to this. So they like mention these things, but they kind of drop it. They're like, oh, got to my destination. We're good.
Well, yeah, I think because for them, they are really so set on the next step is doing this. And in their minds, it's Hades. They have to get to Hades. So they're not really taking those puzzle pieces and putting them together yet. They're just collecting them and going, well, we have this. I guess we'll wait.
What could this mean?
I don't know. Just put it down for now.
So the question is, if the Master Bolt is not in Hades, if it's not in the underworld, where is it?
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big question. And also, who is the voice in the pit?
Right.
So they finally get to Santa Monica Beach. And I love this part of the chapter because, like, to my best knowledge, Rick is from Texas, but he loves New York. New York is like dirty, but also like great. And then when he's describing Santa Monica and, you know, Los Angeles and California, it's like dirty, but also really disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Like he does not like it.
No. And when when they get to the LA part, you know, when they're done with the beach section, there's like rich bad boys. It's hilarious.
Yancey Academy followed him all the way over.
Yeah, it's all Nancy Bubba Fitz brothers or something. Yeah, it's hilarious.
There's also a bunch of like people without homes sleeping in the sand dunes, but also like surfers waiting for the next wave. It's like a very interesting, it's like media, because of this kind of media, I think that's what has always made me think of those two cities. Because I feel like a lot of media does paint these parts of California as like nasty. Like it's like cool, but it's really nasty. And New York is like, smells like pee, but like organized.
That is true. Yeah, it does smell like pee.
Every
organized pee here.
Every corner. Yeah. Every single corner. Even Olympus has to smell like pee.
It all goes up. The scents all go up.
So this part of the chapter, really the only part that's important is Percy decides to walk into the ocean. And he meets that spirit that he met in the Mississippi River. And she's pretty much like, I'm a sea spirit and I work for your dad.
I'm a friend of your father's.
Yeah. He can't show favoritism, but he can work, wink, wink, in indirect ways. And she gives him a gift of these three pearls, which, watching the movie, we watched it recently, I cannot believe that they made that like the whole point of the movie, to like get them across the country, is like, you have to find these pearls. What? No, like that's, I can't believe the stuff that in the movie they decided to like make a big thing when it was like the sea spirit just gave him the pearls. That's it.
I fell asleep for more of that movie than I thought I did.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even know the pearls were a part.
That was the whole point. Yep.
That's hilarious.
Whole point. Wow. She also does leave him with some advice saying, you know, don't trust some things. But like she disappears every time. Like he's like, oh, but who or what? And she's like, bye.
Yeah. I always ask this question of like, why can't we just tell the person what's going on?
Yeah.
And I guess it really is just part of the hero's journey of, we can give you clues. We can give you a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But we will never outright tell you what's happening, because it defeats the purpose of it.
Like, I don't understand why this creature is like a sea spirit, but like fades. Like, can you not? Like, can you only be like in a form for so long? Like, I need these details, because you're just a jerk.
Maybe she just wanted to, like, she's like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
She's just like, watch this.
I do like, on a serious note, sorry, I didn't mean to like sideways, because I know we're leaving this, but like, I do like how she like treats him, because you know, she works for his father, which would kind of make him like a prince in a way. So it's like she shows this kind of respect to him. And it's a really cool thing to see just within the hierarchy of like, he's still just like a dumb kid, but like, she's like, oh, here you go. Like, I'm going to help. It's fine. But like, not totally help.
One of the things I liked about reading this was really seeing Percy's journey as a person who knew nothing about anything to becoming this demigod and godling. And I feel like that is seen in how these people are treating him, right? Because he's really seen as such a novice in the beginning and such a fool. And now towards the end of our journey here, he's getting respect.
Yeah. He has some moments, especially in this next part, where it's like, oh, okay, you're starting to take charge a little bit.
He definitely matures.
It's like a character development thing, but it's a very quick, I think, because he's getting closer to the end goal. So he's like, I gotta like back up.
Things
like,
are getting serious, everyone.
So on their way to find DOA records, which I think is hilarious, dead on arrival.
Dead on arrival.
Which is the entrance to the underworld. He does see on TV Smelly Gabe crying and being interviewed by Barbara Walters.
The man is on the media warpath. He is doing everything he possibly can.
He's the worst.
Yeah, he is. He's Smelly Gabe. He's the worst.
I also don't remember in the very last chapter of like a revelation. We did touch on it earlier in the episodes, but like, I really hate him. And he deserves everything that he gets.
Yeah.
Just putting that.
And he gets even worse.
Yeah. Ugh. I don't like it. So they run into these switchblade carrying rich white kids.
Yeah. It says, a gang of kids had circled us, six of them in all, white kids with expensive clothes and mean faces, like the kids at Yancey Academy, rich brats playing at being bad boys.
What? But they have switchblades. I don't think they're really playing.
I know. It's like such a weird mix of character archetypes. It's like rich kids in polo shirts and loafers with switchblades.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Who's the Jets and who's the Sharks?
I guess I guess it does feel sort of like that. It's just hilarious that these, you know, these rich kids, they just spend their time going downtown and trying to kill 12-year-olds.
Which is insane. But like, I want to say the only reason for this part is to show that like these demigods not only have to worry about mortals with switchblades, but also monsters and everything else. And also we find out that their godly weapons don't work on mortals.
Yes.
Which, okay.
It feels very unfair.
It's fine, I guess.
It just feels like, so the demigods can get attacked by anything and yet can't defend themselves.
Well, they have powers, so like hopefully there's water around.
Right.
Also, good thing it wasn't a gun, just saying.
He has
what would he have done?
Yeah, he needs to do like a Katara from Avatar and always have a little jug of water with him.
But does he do that later on? I feel like I that might know. Be a thing.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
I told you I forget everything.
I do too.
Okay,
maybe I'm just we'll find out Katara. So anyway, they run from them and they get to
good old Krusty's
waterbed palace, which, I mean, it's the only place open. I guess places don't stay open late in Santa Monica Beach, just waterbed.
Just, yes, waterbed emporiums.
Also, this is the sign of the times in the early 2000s. Waterbeds were like a thing.
I never had a waterbed.
My parents did. Hated it.
Because, you said you had to empty it, right?
Yeah, you had to empty it. And it's like they were on the top floor. So like they would have to put the hose outside the window and the water would just come out and then they'd have to fill it back up. It's just like pointless. Like I remember being on it and feeling sick, but also like, what is the point of this?
It was just, I felt like a lot of it was novelty.
I guess so.
It's a waterbed.
Yeah.
These waterbeds are not your mom's waterbeds. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because they have headboards with built-in lava lamps. There's a tiki version.
Ooh.
I mean, there's everything you can dream of.
Safari version?
Safari, yeah. I mean, yeah. I Mr. Krusty himself, yeah. I don't trust. But his products, they're fine products.
I do like how he describes him as a guy who looked like a raptor in a leisure suit.
Okay.
The funny thing about Krusty, though, is that, like, I'm pretty sure, what is his name? Procrustes?
Procrustes.
Procrustes?
I keep thinking of Krusty the Clown.
Yeah, Krusty for short. But like, I think he's believed to actually be a son of Poseidon, who Theseus, who is also a son of Poseidon, does defeat him. So it's like a very bizarre chance thing that happens here. He's a very like not well-known person, but his thing literally in the myths is him trying to fit people into an iron bed.
Yes.
And he does the same thing here. So he lures Annabeth and Grover into beds. He says, ergo, they get trapped in there. And it's stretching them. And so Percy has to outsmart him and he makes him get into a bed and he's like, oh, I'll just chop off the excess pieces that are hanging out. That's what he did in the mist. And that's what he was planning on doing if they were too big. It's like a very bizarre thing for even a myth to happen. Like, I don't really know what the message is behind like fitting in a bed perfectly because
don't
nobody
make
will.
Yourself fit in. Well, it's a beautiful thing, actually.
I don't.
Don't be your own Procrustes. Believe in yourself.
No.
The more you know. You know?
An iron bed? I don't know. It's just
I do love, though, that this is like the good old like Percy bait and switch where he's like, I don't really think these are good beds. You know, no one can fit in them. And this guy's like, wait a minute. This is the, you know, Krusty Palace. We have the best beds.
He sold the salesman mm-hmm. on his own product. It's just it's so silly. But this is like Percy becoming a leader in some way, becoming the hero while his friends are getting stretched.
And you know how he really showed himself as a leader? He cut his head off.
Yeah.
Dang. That got real for me. I was like, oh.
I like how he was like, I didn't give a second thought on what I was about to do. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
I guess it does become easy to kill monsters when they just turn into dust.
You know they'll come back.
And they're coming back. So yeah. It's like really killing. It's just more like you can go to sleep and then they'll come back later on. Just like we know Mrs. Dodds does.
Yeah. It definitely eases the conscience.
A little bit. But like he went for the head. So it's like,
But also, I guess if you're watching your friends be stretched to death and then ultimately be chopped up, you're kind of willing to do whatever you have to do.
I guess so. So next chapter.
Chapter 18. Annabeth does obedience school. Percy, Annabeth, and Grover take an elevator to the underworld and come face to face to face with Cerberus.
Oh, I love anything that Cerberus is in. I love it. I've always loved Cerberus. I think that it's so such a silly concept, but it's like also really cool. I liked that in this one, they broke the mold of what Cerberus is. He's a Rottweiler in this, when most of the time, even Percy says, I thought he was a black mastiff.
Right.
That's what most of us think of Cerberus. I'm also just glad that they don't make him pit bulls, because like, we don't need that stereotype of pit bulls.
No, but I mean, I think that what we see here is that Cerberus is just, he's just a dog at his core.
He's just a good boy.
He's got three heads.
Yeah. Yeah. So before they get to Cerberus, I love when they first walk in. So here's the description of DOA records. Music played softly on hidden speakers. The carpets and walls were steel gray. Pencil cactuses grew in the corners like skeleton hands. The furniture was black leather and every seat was taken.
Can I go on there?
Yes.
There were people sitting on couches, people standing up, people staring out the windows or waiting for the elevator. Nobody moved or talked or did much of anything. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see them all just fine. But if I focused on any one of them in particular, they started looking transparent. I could see right through their bodies.
Fun.
Whoa.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to see the whole underworld stuff in the show. It's just the visual of it and the kind of like modernization of it, or this retelling of it, seems just super cool. And I really love it. And I also like that it's just like a record studio that is the entrance to the underworld. Just really cool.
What do humans see when they walk into this place? Do they see all these spirits? Is it just Muzak playing and no one's there to help them?
It's just Karen. I see Karen. Karen.
Hi, I'm Karen.
Well, it's a carrion bird, right? It's like, that's what the, right? Isn't that how you say it?
He explained it and I didn't write it down.
It's not Chiron.
No, it's not Chiron.
It's very similar.
Charon.
Yeah, it's Charon. Okay, there we go. Whatever.
I like Karen better.
Yeah, I'm going to call him Karen.
Yeah.
But he's this very like suave person that looks like he like overspends on looking good. Like, I'm curious if like mortals, if they go in there, it's just him sitting there and nothing else is happening.
Yeah. Just like giving the dirty looks. Yeah.
So he knows that they're not dead. But I love that Percy tries to put one over on him by saying, like, we all drowned in a bathtub. The same one.
Yeah. He's like, what?
He might be like coming into like his hero self, but like, just let somebody else speak, because he's not really good at doing that.
Yeah. I think Annabeth should have taken over at this point in time.
I think Annabeth during that was like, what?
Yeah. Grover, I think, is willing to go along with anything. Annabeth should be taking the helm, but Percy, for some reason, is steering the ship.
Also, she just lets him. It's like, Annabeth, like...
Maybe she's too busy thinking about all the puzzle pieces. And then she's like, oh, damn it, he said something stupid.
He can't help it. So they end up conning their way in there by paying him a lot of money. They got a big satchel of money from Krusty's. I love that every time Percy kills a monster, he like loots their offices.
I love it.
Yeah.
Because these are the things that I think about on heroes' journeys, where I'm like, where do they get their money from? How do they do it? It's like, he steals it from the monsters that try to kill them. And I'm like, that makes perfect sense.
He loots the corpse, just like a game.
Oh my. Well,
he gets it. So they go in an elevator at first, and then it turns into a wooden barge. So essentially, this is the hooded figure that you would give passage to on the River Styx to get to the underworld. That's what it is. I love that, like, he talks about, like, he tells the corpses, like, don't touch my easy listening music.
If any of you mess with my music, it's over.
I mean, he has to take care of these people forever. And I would be the same way. Like, the one thing I enjoy when I take you guys to this place, do not mess with it.
I was kind of hoping that Percy would take whatever he had left of his drachmas and give it to everybody in the room so they could all have passage.
Oh, that would be... You know what? Okay. You know what I'm thinking about? Okay. So like, a lot of half-bloods die when they're on their quests and stuff like that, or they get killed out in the real world. Who gives them money to do that? Like, you know what I mean? So like, if they die out there, like, who's giving them passage or like do they bring their bodies back to Camp Half-Blood to then bury them? But then do they tell their families of like, oops, there was an accident at camp? Like,
maybe they just have to hope that they have some money in their pockets.
I don't know.
Right? Because the dead are buried with the coins and then that's how they pay. So you have to hope that you at least have something. Always keep a quarter in your shoe.
In your mouth until you pay.
Tastes terrible, but it'll be useful.
So the description of the river Styx I really liked. Mm-hmm. It said, the description of it is, I like that so it was a bunch of dead hopes and dreams and other metaphysical items floating around in it. So it's not just like physical beings. It's all of like people's aspirations that are also dead. And as we see in the underworld, it's overcrowded. So it's overcrowded with like people's dreams and that metaphysical stuff, but also literal people.
Mm.
And you can tell that like Mr. Rick here is trying to talk about like the overcrowdedness and like how the world is now, that not only are we like killing the planet, because he's talking about the river Styx literally being polluted. Also, any body of water that Percy goes into is disgusting, but also how overcrowded it is. I mean, you have different lines going into it and they're all overcrowded. And the only fast line to go through is to go to purgatory
and just stand there in a field.
That's like Kansas field.
But it's all stomped all over. Like, it's not even a nice field. The humans have destroyed that even as well, the spirits.
It's not the field of reeds.
It sure is not. One of the things that I liked here is that I feel like we get one of our first little clues about Persebeth.
So it says,
Annabeth grabbed hold of my hand. Under normal circumstances, this would have embarrassed me, but I understood how she felt. She wanted reassurance that somebody else was alive on this boat.
Oh, it's those little moments that are just so good.
She didn't grab Grover's hand. Okay. I'm just saying.
She didn't. She grabbed Percy's, but like, the journey to Persebeth is a long, slow burn. And these little tiny moments are what reminds you of like, there is a friendship being built here. It started really in the tunnel of love, which is funny. But it is those little moments that it's like, oh, so then when you like finally get to the end, it's like, oh.
And I think there is something else to be said about them being 12.
Right.
Right. So it's an innocent crush at this point. Maybe they're not even sure what their feelings are.
And they don't know who they are.
Right. And as time goes on, then it blossoms into something more substantial.
100%.
So I think that that makes perfect sense for the characters.
Yep.
But now they are making their way. Yes. And I like that the underworld looked like a cross between airport security and the Jersey Turnpike. Two of the worst things.
I hate both of them.
The worst.
You like go through a toll and it's like 17 lanes and then it goes down to 2. Mm. It's a fend for themselves.
Oh my gosh.
There's also like a highway for trucks and cars, but also just cars. It's very confusing.
I don't.
It's a lot.
Yeah, I'm just leaving it at that.
So you could do the easy death line and just go to the field that's all stomped on, which seems like a lot of people are doing because it's moving fast. Who wants to be standing in line for eternity to then just have your fate be judged by like Thomas Jefferson? And was it Thomas Jefferson?
Yeah, it was King Minos, Thomas Jefferson, and Shakespeare.
And out of all of those
people like that.
Out of all of those, Shakespeare would be the only one that I'd be like, okay, maybe he's decent. The other two are not.
Yeah, I wonder with Shakespeare if like you could quote Shakespeare to him and he'd be like, you're good people.
The most obscure Shakespearean though.
Yeah. I'd just be like, Romeo.
So as they're in line trying to figure out what to do, they see Cerberus.
Mm.
And I love that Annabeth kind of has her moment to shine here, and she uses her obedience training from her life with her mortal family because they had a Doberman. And she's like, oh, I can use the ball that I got from Waterworld to like distract it.
Mm-hmm.
And like we kind of said earlier, he just wants some attention and she gives him that attention. They do fight. The heads fight with each other, which is also something that like happens anytime Cerberus is anything, but I like it.
Yeah. And so once they finally get through it all, Percy notices something and he says, I pretended not to see Annabeth wipe a tear from her cheek as she listened to the mournful keening of Cerberus in the distance, longing for his new friend.
It's so sad.
Yeah. I do want to just take a personal moment here, if that's okay. And just thank anyone who had reached out to us to offer their condolences for our beautiful Dallas, our dog who passed away just a little under 2 weeks ago. It's been rough. That was a horrible, I did not mean a pun.
I'm sorry.
It's been hard, but thank you all so much for your love and support. She really was just so beautiful. It's been a hard year for us, so thank you for everything.
Yes.
And
yes.
So whenever when I see any dog in any media, it makes me think of her. So this was, and especially with Annabeth crying, this was no different.
I do want to like specifically shout out Kara. Mm. She sent very beautiful ornaments because we lost both of our dogs this year. And she sent beautiful ornaments of, you know, a paw print with both of their names. It's just, you guys, like, that was so sweet.
Yeah.
When you do this kind of stuff, like as podcasters, you don't know who you're reaching, right? And like, those little tiny moments, it's like, oh shit, people care about us, not just what even what we're doing. So all right.
I will say that the original pun that we made in our WandaVision days still remains true. Oh. That she sure does care a lot.
I hope you're listening, Kara, because like you deserve it.
But thank you.
Yes.
All right. Let's move on. Chapter 19, we find out the truth, sort of. Grover's shoes have a mind of their own, and Percy's pack packs a double-crossed secret.
Ooh, very nice.
Yeah, well.
So
I try.
Just to not like get in the weeds too much about the beginning part of this chapter, we kind of see the Fields of Punishment. We see Elysium. We see all of this stuff. And we also see like where the gods or the heroes go. So it's like islands that look lush. It's like a gated community almost. Mm. So you have these like, you still have elitism. You still have like classism kind of happening here. You see the Fields of Punishment. It's like every torture area is barbed wire off and just awful.
People being chased by hellhounds, burned at the stake, forced to run naked through cactus patches, or listen to opera music.
Rick
is having fun in these last chapters. He's being silly goose. I love it.
He's like, I hate opera. I'm like, I would hate it. I mean, to hear it for eternity, I don't think I'd like it either. Because if you can't see the opera itself, that's probably worse.
And I guess for all eternity, yeah, that's a lot.
Oh my God.
One other silly thing he does is that when they first get there, it says, judgments for Elysium and eternal damnation. Welcome, newly deceased.
It's so good.
I love it.
So, twist, the shoes that Grover's wearing, the shoes that fly, Mira, all that, start acting on their own and start pulling him away from everything. And it pulls him to a very familiar chasm.
Percy says, wait a minute, I remember that pit. That was in my dreams.
Luckily, they're on Grover, though, because he has hooves. And they don't fill out the whole shoes, right? So they're a little loose, so he ends up getting out of them. Yep.
He just pops his little hooves out.
And I love that when the last shoe that got off of them got mad and like kicked them in the head. Yeah, exactly. And then went back for its twin. So it's the entrance to Tartarus, the deepest, 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 deepest part of the underworld. This is where like the gods put the things that like they really don't like. Yeah. So Tartarus is right there, but something is in there. They can feel it. It's not good. So they run away. They're like, no, thanks.
Smart.
Again, this is a thing of like something happening, but like we're going to ignore it.
I would probably ignore it too. That's a little too scary. I'd be like, let's just go to Hades.
There's a lot.
Yeah, there's too much. You almost went down there. Gotta go.
This is obviously setting up for future stories within the universe of Percy Jackson. So unfortunately, by the end of this, we do not get real answers for anything.
No.
But it's very smart for him to set it up that way.
He's good.
Yeah.
All right. So you know how I love these descriptions of these people, Minotaur being my favorite.
I think that's all of our favorites.
But this description of Hades is fantastic. So it was, he was at least 10 feet tall for one thing and dressed in black silk robes and a crown of braided gold. His skin was albino white. His hair shoulder length and jet black. He wasn't bulked up like Ares, but he radiated power. He lounged on his throne of fused human bones, looking lithe, graceful, and dangerous as a panther.
I love it.
Oh my God.
I love that he made him kind of seem like the typical thing that you like a greasy, you know, like kind of guy, but he's radiating power. I love that description.
Black silk robes Ooh, Hades said, I like to lay in the lap of luxury.
Well, I mean, he is kind of concerned that his like wealth and all his resources is being drained because he's overpopulated the underworld.
He said, just me and my human bones.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
And his like guards with every type of mass destruction weapon possible is just waiting for his command.
And again, we see this very cool thing that we saw with Ares where Hades' aura affects them. It says the Lord of the Dead resembled pictures I'd seen of Adolf Hitler or Napoleon or the terrorist leaders who direct suicide bombers. Hades had the same intense eyes, the same kind of mesmerizing evil charisma.
Oh, so good. The descriptions. Like Rick, hats off.
Yeah.
Very good descriptions, especially when you like want to pack a punch with them.
Mm.
So good. So long story short with this conversation, they get to know the truth, sort of. So Hades, Helm of Darkness, is gone. Hades thinks that Percy has the Master Bolt and also his helm. He does not. Surprise, the backpack that Ares gave him does have the Master Bolt in it now. He's like walking and he's like, oh, my backpack got heavier. Maybe I should check that. Well, not right now. Again, a child, not really.
He's like, just again, put it away for later.
So it's easy to see that like Ares gave him the backpack, which also has the Master Bolt in it. But also, twist, we knew that Sally was going to be down there somewhere. So Hades is holding her.
Yes.
It's kind of sad because she's still in that moment of like being killed. So he can't really even talk to her. He only has 3 pearls. And Hades knows that. He's like, you either give me all this stuff or do this stuff that I'm telling you, or I'm going to unleash the dead to the surface, which I think he wants to do anyway, because he's like, there's too many. Get him out of here. And he's also holding Sally Jackson. And if he doesn't do one of those things, he's going to like, bye bye, Sally.
Yeah. So Percy at this point remembers what the Oracle said and realizing that the thing that he won't be able to save is actually his mother.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not saying goodbye to her. He's saying, I will come back for you. But in this moment, I know what I have to do.
Right. He has the Master Bolt. Mm-hmm. So now all he has to do is tell Zeus and hopefully they'll help. Which is, I think, smart, right? Because it's like, how are you going to side? And I like that he realizes that his mom wouldn't want him to sacrifice himself or one of his friends for her.
Exactly.
Like, that's her job. And I'm glad that he heeded that sea spirit's warning as well of like, don't trust Hades, follow your heart. Wink.
See what we're saying?
Yeah. So he does. They smash the pearls. And they go right up into the bay.
Yes, it like puts them in a bubble and they go all the way to the surface. This very much reminds me of My Little Ponies. So in the first episode ever of My Little Ponies, Megan and Firefly fall into the water and the sea ponies save them.
So there was a pony named Firefly and Megan?
No. Megan was the girl.
Oh.
Megan was the girl that the ponies got.
No.
So wait, they fall in the water, but then the sea ponies come and they sing a whole song. It's the best song ever.
Are they called sea ponies?
Yeah, like they're seahorses, but they're sea ponies.
No, do they not use the word horse in My Little Pony at all?
My Little Pony. They're all ponies. Okay.
Well, isn't a pony just like a small horse?
They're small, magical horses.
But do they grow up into horses?
They're ponies.
Okay.
Wow, I can't believe I'm getting this pushback right now. But anyway, so they fall into the water. Okay. And then the sea ponies sing, shooby-doo, shooby-doo. It's such a good song.
Oh my God.
I'll send you the link. But they put them in a bubble. Noah, you have to watch it. It's one of my favorite childhood memories.
Okay.
And they put them in bubbles and they rise to the surface of the water. And then they give them a seashell. And they say, if you ever need us again, you just throw the seashell in the ocean. We'll come and help you.
Oh, so it's not like a one-time use like the pearls.
No, exactly.
Okay, so I'll make you a deal. I will watch My Little Pony if...
Just that one...
I'll watch the whole thing.
No. I don't even want to watch the whole thing.
You have to agree.
No, because Noah's been trying to get me to rewatch Lost and I don't want to agree to anything.
That's what I was going to say.
I knew it.
Does anybody want to watch Lost with me? Okay. Anyway.
Whatever. Anyway, highly recommend that entire scene. And this reminded me of it. It made me very happy.
That's good.
The sea ponies, one of them has a bow. I can't. It's too much.
Okay, on to a demigod and god battle.
Sorry, okay. Chapter 20. Does anybody else remember that scene? Yeah. Anyway. Chapter 20, I battle my jerk relative. Things go from wet to worse as things heat up on the beach.
Okay. So that one was good. It was good, but it was like, oh, okay. So Percy realizes that Hades. The Ares. He realizes that Hades didn't do anything.
Right.
Right. So it's like the thing of like, maybe the bad guy isn't really the bad guy. And it turns out Ares was behind some of it. There's still like other things being pulled here.
Hmm.
So he has to go talk to the person that betrayed him, mm-hmm. which is Ares. They get to the beach. Coast Guard like brings him to the beach and is like, bye. We have to save other
people.
Have fun,
little kids. Goodbye.
And of course, Ares is there and he's mad because Percy didn't die. Like the whole plan was to get Percy down there and for him to be dead and then start the war and then blah, blah, blah. So they have to fight, which I love that Percy at this point is like, I'm game. I got it. I can fight a god.
Listen, Percy is not afraid to take some vengeance on some double-crossing gods.
Ugh.
All right?
Yeah.
And Ares is a real jerk.
Yeah. I mean, I do think in the grand scheme of things, right, it's like Ares is strength. They said this in the book, that he's strength. He's not really smart. But I do think the person that planned this, and for Ares to understand how good of a plan it is, of like killing, having Hades kill the son of Poseidon to make Poseidon mad at Hades, but then Zeus being mad at both of them, it would create a disastrous war.
Right.
And we can see too, when they get to the surface, that like parts of like LA are on fire. So like things are starting to escalate a little bit. And Percy realizes that he has to take action now because the sun's going down and it's like summer solstice.
Almost the solstice.
Mm-hmm.
We also do see this thing where Ares is kind of like has a voice in his head and he's kind of like getting tripped up by it. And he says, I'm the god of war. I take orders from no one. I don't have dreams.
Which nobody mentioned.
Dreams. Right. And Percy's like, wait a minute. Nobody said nothing about no dreams, baby.
Which I think does plant a seed for like, there's a little more to Ares than we're letting on, right? He's not just somebody that loves war. Like, yeah, that's where he kind of comes from. But like, does he just want to do that? So like, what is his dream? Like, does he just want to like hang out and like be fine?
I would think that he dreamed a dream of time gone by.
Okay. Anne Hathaway. So this, I want to say, is like really at the top three of the things that I'm super excited to see in the show, because this is really like the showdown of
this book.
Of the book,
yeah.
Right? So you have Percy fighting Ares. You have all the cops descending on it, which they think that they have guns, which I think is hilarious that they're just watching it, but nobody's shooting. Are they just like hitting the guns together? I want to know what they're saying. You have all the Furies coming.
There's also that wall of fire that's very cool. Ugh,
so good.
There's also a boar, R.I.P., the boar that gets washed out to sea.
Yeah. I mean, Percy was like, wave. Bye.
He said, boar, more like bacon. Get out of here.
What a boar. Got him. So they fight. He uses the pressure of the ocean. He's really coming into his powers of the ocean and using these abilities.
Yeah.
And he stabs him in the ankle and that just like sets Ares over the edge. How dare you?
Mama, he's got gold blood coming out. He is not happy.
So he's not happy about it. And he curses Percy, which might come into play later.
He says, you have made an enemy, godling. You have sealed your fate. Every time you raise your blade in battle, every time you hope for success, you will feel my curse. Beware, Perseus Jackson. Beware. And then he runs away.
Well, he turns into light that you can't look at.
Don't look at
his full immortal form. Don't look at it.
It'll make your eyeballs melt and you go cuckoo.
Cuckoo, cuckoo. Mm-hmm. So he ends up giving the Fury, the furry.
Oh, man. What is happening?
The Minotaur is still in my head.
Oh, my God. He said, oh, those tiny whiteys.
So Mrs. Dobbs, the Fury. That's
Megan
what I meant.
Mullally.
Yeah. Electo, if you will, comes and he gives the Helm of Darkness to her. He's like, here, give this to Hades, whatever. But she does kind of leave it with like good, but bad. She said, live well, Percy Jackson, become a true hero. Because if you do not, if you ever come into my clutches again, dun, 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 she'll be back.
Why is everybody just like hating on Percy?
Oh, no.
The guy just like got the helm back.
Here you go.
Return the bolt. Like, yeah. He's a good kid. They're just like, it's like this thing of with these creatures or these gods. It's like, if you best them in any way, even if it's besting them to help them, they can't stand that you're the one that got the glory.
Right. Yeah.
Get over yourself.
But I do think there is some type of like, okay, like, thank you. I can go bring this back to like my master and like, but like, don't cross my path again. Like, you defeated me 2 times. I don't like that. So I think there's like a personal thing going on now.
And pluck your eyes out.
Or shit, the fire whips and stuff. Oh, so cool. So cool. So they decide they don't have much time left and they need to get to Manhattan. They need to go to Olympus. So they're going to fly.
They're going into Zeus's territory.
Which they're not supposed to do.
No. Mm-mm. Okay, chapter 21. I settle my tab. Percy takes an elevator to the top of the Empire State Building and reunites with loved ones big and small.
Oh, big and small.
Big and small. So, Dad's really big, his mom's small.
So one of the developments in the beginning of this is that Percy Jackson is no longer a delinquent in the eyes of America.
Oh.
The mist has like changed or something and like he's not bad. It turns out Aries. Kidnapped these people and wreaked havoc on the bus with the bat and all the stuff. He was trying to cause distractions and get away from his kidnapper. So like, that's good. And it explains like later in the, like the cops don't have to be after him for like 5 books.
Right.
It's like,
right.
Good.
We've ended that.
Yeah. They've ended it. But he does part ways with Annabeth and Grover, which is, it's very typical of these types of stories, right? It's like, I got to do this, the final part.
Yes.
It's me.
It's very serious that I did this just by myself, even though you've helped me through every single thing.
And you've literally saved my life the entire time.
You have to go back. You have to go back and tell them because I have to go to Olympus by myself.
Yeah. So he gets to go to Olympus. They go tell Chiron.
They're like, okay, yeah. Bye, I guess.
So he finally gets to Olympus. And I really like the visual that he sets here. It's like, you know, like marble and it's in the sky. It's as high as plane should be. And you know, it doesn't seem as like bustling as you think Olympus would be, right? It's like the underworld is so crowded. There's so much going on. And then Olympus is like a couple people.
It's like a beautiful, like the top of the mountain is like a beautiful little village.
Right. Yeah.
Not too much happening.
Yeah.
It's definitely not like the underworld.
No, not at all. And he goes to Zeus's throne room.
Mm.
And really only Poseidon and Zeus are there. The only ones he interacts with.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. Like, you would think, I'm more curious because we know that Poseidon has been helping him throughout this whole thing.
Sending his friends.
Right. But like, when he does finally get to see him, there's like nothing. And I'm curious if it's because Zeus is present that like he doesn't really want to seem like.
Well, it's like a forbidden child.
Yeah. But like, he already claimed him. Like, so he defied it anyway. And like, son's there. You know what? And so it's like, I kind of hoped that's the only thing in the movie that I did like, because you kind of saw Poseidon, like once they were alone, Poseidon was like, oh, hi, like you're my son. Mm. I love you. He doesn't really get any of that here. Like very little, but not a lot.
He's like, good job, kid.
Yeah.
You did it. So I want to read the descriptions of our two gods here, because it just wouldn't be complete if I didn't. So Zeus, the Lord of the Gods, wore a dark blue pinstripe suit. He sat on a simple throne of solid platinum.
Yep.
Simple platinum. He had a well-trimmed beard, marbled gray and black like a storm cloud. His face was proud and handsome and grim. His eyes rainy gray.
Oh, nice.
And now our good friend Poseidon. He wore leather sandals, khaki Bermuda shorts, and a Tommy Bahama shirt with coconuts and parrots all over it.
I don't.
His skin was deeply tanned, his hands scarred like an old-time fisherman's. His hair was black, like mine. His face had the same brooding look that had always gotten me branded a rebel. But his eyes, sea green like mine, were surrounded by sun crinkles that told me he smiled a lot, too. Daddy.
Except for when your kid is in your presence.
Daddy, will you smile for me, Daddy?
Your only kid. And he's like, no, thanks.
He's like, how's that hot piece of tail, Sally?
I don't like the description of Poseidon. I think it's lame, but like, whatever. I think it's too on the nose. You know what I mean? Like, Zeus is in a suit. So it's like, oh, that's kind of cool.
A suit.
Yeah. And Poseidon is just looks like a beach bum. You know what I mean? Like,
He's supposed to be.
Does he work at Ron
Jimmy
John's?
Jimmy Buffett. He's Margaritaville.
I get it.
He's wasting away.
No, like, I get it. I just don't like it.
Does Poseidon eat seafood? Yeah. That is the question.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah, you know, he would.
But aren't they like his citizens?
I don't know.
Coconut shrimp?
I don't know. He probably does eat them.
Swordfish?
So the conversation here is he has to pretty much plead his case to Zeus and say, like, this is what happens. Ares was the one that did it. Here's your master bolt. Like, hello. He believes him, but like not really.
Mm.
He's just like, I have my eye on you. Also, you're not supposed to be here.
Why is no one grateful?
He gave it to him, right?
So yes.
It's like, even if I stole it, why would I bring it?
Yeah, he's like, number one, I didn't even steal it. Number two, here it is.
Yeah.
I've brought it back to you.
Yeah. So it's like, it's one of those things where he finally gets to the big boss. He finally gets to his dad. And it's kind of an underwhelming experience, right? Mm. And it's, he knows he's in the presence of these big things. But Zeus doesn't want to talk about anything of possibly what's in Tartarus, his father, pieces of him. Like, he doesn't want to talk about it. He's like, I forbid any of this being talked about because that's not what's happening. It's not true. Again, why would Percy lie?
Yeah.
Whatever. I guess he thinks he has his reason. Zeus leaves the room and Poseidon and Percy do kind of have a conversation. He does call his mom a queen, which is like really sweet. You can tell that like he wants to love them, but like he can't.
Yeah. And we also have an apology here where he says that he's sorry he brought him into the world because that means he has a hero's fate. And a lot of times it's never a happy fate.
They never have happy fates.
Yes. Yeah.
But like also rude, like you wish I wasn't born, then you shouldn't have done it.
So this is the first time you're seeing me in years. And this is what you're saying to me? All right, Dad. Terrible.
They're rude.
Yeah.
So that's
worst.
Pretty much for that chapter.
Well, he goes home.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because Sally is back.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So Sally is home, which is an amazing thing.
Hades let her go back.
Yes. And because he got the Helm of Darkness back.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when he gets home, the apartment is disgusting because Gabe has just been basically decomposing.
I forgot that this was this chapter.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we do see in this chapter that Gabe is just being horrible and he is yelling and he's gesticulating and Percy's mom actually flinches. And this is what it says. It says, for the first time, I realized something. Gabe had hit my mother.
Okay.
Woof.
Yeah. I didn't remember this. I think maybe subconsciously we kind of knew that this happened.
It's literally one line. It's two sentences, but it's
well,
so
I mean,
quick.
From the beginning interactions with him, when we were first talking about it, we're like, was he hitting her? Like, it feels like there's more abuse going on here, but having this plainly set out, especially in a middle grade book, like this is heavy.
Mm.
From what I remember of the other books, like it does get a little dark and stuff, but like, I feel like the first book was pretty heavy.
I think there's like something to be said of when it's like demigod on monster violence, it's kind of fun. But when it's talking about human on human violence, it's very scary.
Well, especially somebody like Sally, right? It's like Sally's an angel.
And when we know that she's putting herself in the situation for Percy.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, yeah.
His dad did tell him something of like, you're going to have to make a decision. Nobody can make the decision for you. You have to do it. And one of the things that comes about is in his room, there's a package, the package of Medusa's head that he sent. It got returned to sender. And he has to really, this next chapter, and his decision is really like, okay, do I like take out Gabe? Do I go back to Camp Half-Blood? Like, what is going on? His mom really didn't know anything. She doesn't remember anything since the Minotaur. So he had to fill her all in.
So
what does he do?
Yeah. So he's just kind of like, mom, you know what? I'm going to leave this here for you.
In case you need it.
Wink.
I'm going to go back to Game Avalon. I have things to do.
Yes. So that leads us to our final chapter of the book, chapter 22. The prophecy comes true. Camp goodbyes are bad, but the sting of betrayal hurts more.
Woo, very
good. Yes, I said sting.
I love that, like, he goes back to Camp Half-Blood and, like, he does things. He does camp things because camp is still happening.
And he's getting better at them.
Yeah, he climbs the rock wall and doesn't get burned at all. And, like, they have to burn their burial shrouds because they actually got to come back, which is, like, a really morbid but kind of nice thing that, like, your cabin is supposed to make the thing that you're going to be buried in. And Aerie's cabin volunteered to make Percy, since he's the only one. It has a bunch of, like, smiley faces and with loser
X's, yeah. It is sort of funny, like, oh, they left on a quest, and the next day, like, Mr. D's like, all right, guys, get ready those burial shrouds.
It's the arts and crafts section.
Exactly.
Of camp.
Yes, yes.
I really love it, but I just love the pettiness of Aerie's cabin. And I'm kind of concerned that Aerie's children are still allowed to be there.
Yes.
I mean, I guess the sins of their father is not their own, but I don't trust it.
I'm sorry. Clarice has just been awful this entire time. I do not trust her or her siblings.
Her spear is broken.
Okay. Mm-hmm. She's pissed.
Very pissed.
And she is, again, like her father and has Percy on her shit list.
Yeah. There is some also big character development happening in
good
the
old
spinal.
Grover.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He gets his searcher's license and he's going off to search for Pan. And it's really sweet too, because it's like his two friends that he went through everything, and Percy is talking about, it's like, I want to go with him, or like, I don't want him to go, but like, he has to, like, this is his thing.
Yeah.
And it's really sweet. I think it's mature for somebody that age to, like, let go when they have to. Mm-hmm. And then also Percy is really left with the decision of, like, he's finally feeling that he belongs somewhere. So does he decide to stay there year round or just do summer? Because then he could just be with his mom. Mm. Because we find out that his mom used Medusa on some other game.
Mama.
And
she said, I'm selling art.
She sold him, got a shit ton of money, and is like, I'm enrolling to become a writer. I'm going to school.
Life-size concrete sculpture.
Good for her.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. You're never too old to go to school and to do whatever you want to do. If you have to use Medusa on a abusive person to do it, go ahead.
The fact that he is in poker playing mode means that he was sitting at the table with his friends and she whipped that Medusa head out and she said, mm-hmm. Watch this, motherfucker.
Open that box.
I got a present for you, Gabe.
Yeah. So his really big, one of his big decisions here is deciding that.
Mm.
Before he decides, remember the Oracle? The prophecy that they said, there's still one thing. When I was reading this, I was like, okay, it's all done. And then he was like, the Oracle said, somebody's going to betray me that I call friend. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot that this betrayal happens
right
at the end of the book.
The very end of the
which
book.
Which is so good.
Yeah. So everybody's leaving for camp. Percy decides, you know what? I'm going to go train a little bit. I'm going to bring my sword down, good old Riptide, and see what's going on. But guess who else is training? Luke. And Luke has a very special sword. One with two blades made of two different types of
metal.
It's
two-sided.
Yeah.
So it's the same, but it's like just split down the middle, which is so cool. I love it. It like has different colors and it's really cool. So it's to kill monsters and also hurt mortals.
One side is celestial bronze. The other is tempered steel. Works on mortals and immortals both.
Yay.
So Backbiter is looking to kill everyone that
it's
comes
almost
in its path.
Like it's backstabber, but it's Backbiter.
Because it sounds cooler.
Yeah. And also it's not too on the nose at this point.
True. You're right.
He pretty much is like, Percy, let's go into the woods and like fight something, you know, because camp is like happening. And he's like, okay. Again, the sea spirit told you to trust your heart. This is one of those moments again. I don't think it's ever going to stop where you need to trust your heart.
He's like, I can't give you everything, Percy.
So he goes into the woods and a scorpion comes into play. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that Luke was the one that was the thief. During the winter solstice, the field trip, he was the one that was acting with the thing in the pit to do all these things. So it wasn't even his father that was making him do this. He went rogue.
It was Kronos.
And I do, his father is to blame though, right? Because like he talks about how his father sent him on a quest just to get a golden apple, which has already been done before. Mm-hmm. That's how he got a scar. So I get his resentment, but like he really wants to take down the whole thing.
Yeah. And I, you know, there is something to be said about them just being pawns in their parents' lives and being used and not really being cared for. But he also is having, you know, the father of all the gods whisper in his ear, trying to get him to do his revenge. So he's definitely being brainwashed at this point.
Right. And it's one of those things where it's going to be a journey for Percy and Annabeth and the people that will believe Percy of like what's happening with Kronos and all of that. But like, because they said, oh, he put him into pieces. Like occasionally, like he'll like influence somebody to do terrible things, but he's never coming back together. And Percy's like, oh, he is. And this is proof. Right. Mm-hmm. That, like he literally has a demigod working for him. It's not good.
No. So our good friend Percy, he does get stung by the scorpion, even though he cuts it in half. But before he does, he gets stung. Luke escapes. He uses his backbiter to slash a hole in the universe and he gets out of there.
He did a Clea from Doctor Strange.
He sure did. and then Percy does end up getting help, but he does almost die and mm-hmm. he wakes up again just as he arrived at camp, being nursed back to health by Annabeth.
Full circle.
Just a little sip of nectar will do you good.
And also, so again, there is character development, right? Mm. That we don't experience until it's told to Percy. And he's assuming that Annabeth is going to be there year round. And I think that probably would have pushed him to be a year rounder.
This day, yeah.
Right. And she took his advice and reached out and her family's there. And she's going to try again, which... Again, these kids, it's just good writing, right? Like, I love the thought of second chances, even with Annabeth. Because Annabeth seems very like, nope, you've crossed me. I don't want to do it. But like, she's grown a little bit. Mm-hmm. Percy rubbed off on her and she's like, I'm going to try. What's the harm in trying? She could just come right back.
She always has a place that can't have blood.
Yeah.
And so Percy realizes that, okay, when we come back together next year, we'll go on a quest again. Mm-hmm. But until then, I'm going to go home.
Because he's like, I want to go after Luke. I want to do this. And Chiron's like, no, like you need some time. Like, don't go for revenge. Sit down and think a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's really where it ends.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Lightning Thief.
And then there's just four more books. Well, and then an entire more. Universe. Yeah, and now a brand new one.
Yeah. And there's going to be two more brand new ones. College years.
I love it.
So what did you think? What did you think about the Lightning Thief?
I think that what's so good about this book is that it starts off in such an innocent place. And as it goes on, it really does become more serious. And rereading it again, I really did forget so many of the details, but I remember why I loved it.
Yeah.
And it really is just so well written. And the fact that as an adult, I'm reading it and still enjoying it and still seeing the humor in it and not forgetting the twists and turns. You know, I think that if I didn't remember that Luke double crossed him, I wouldn't have been expecting that at all.
No. And I think that was a really good thing that like, I think once you know that you can see some of those signs and there are some like little tiny heavy handedness, but like, it is a good thing because also he waited until literally the last couple pages. I love it when an author like knows what they want to do and they're just like setting up stuff, but like they planted that seed from the beginning, from the Oracle. It's really fun, right? I think to echo what you're saying, I forgot how much I enjoyed it. And now I can't wait to just like keep reading all of them. If this gets a second season, hopefully maybe we can do this again for the second book and like keep going until
I really want to read it. You know, the thing was, is that I feel like, I think in my reading of this, I read the first one and really liked it. But then I think I was in college at that point. So I was busy with school and I took a break. But then like the last two were coming out. So I speed read the next two, which was Sea of Monsters and Titan's Curse. So I don't remember anything about those at all, other than he meets his brother and then he gets...
Spoilers.
Pegasus or something? God, we always spoilers. Said Pegasus.
I'm just kidding.
But you don't know who his brother is.
I mean, if you've seen Sea of Monsters, you might know.
Yes. Yeah. And then I think he at some point gets a horse or a Pegasus or something like that. So that's all I remember.
Yeah. Yeah. There's quite, yeah. I mean, I remember pieces. Like, I know generally where the series is going, but like everything from there, because this book is packed. Mm. Like, holy crap. Like, I forgot how much time we were in Camp Half-Blood and how many monsters. And like, again, it's like episodic, right? It's like fighting this monster, getting to this place, fighting this monster, getting, it's just really packed. And the fact that there's just a universe more of books, like, mm-hmm. I think he has completely used everything in Greek mythology.
He must have. I mean, at this point,
he used Krusty.
I'm telling you, Krusty the Crab, it's ridiculous. The fact is that he's done Roman mythologies, done Norse mythologies, done Egyptian.
Yeah. Oh, where's he going to go next?
Is he going to go?
I'm very excited. So we just have the show from here on out. Very exciting.
I can't wait.
Yeah. If you were with us for this whole book reading thing, we'll do more books in the future. Maybe not Birds Ejected, maybe something else. Who knows? But this is our roots and we love doing it. So see you tomorrow. We have that bonus episode. And then shortly after that, we have...
we're getting into the show.
The show.
It's time to go back to Disney Plus.
I can't wait to talk about it.
Same.
Because we've seen some of it, and that's all I'm saying.
Woo!
Very excited. All right, so till next time.
Bye.
Goodbye.